This teaching is from City Church Coventry. You can find us online at www.citychurchcoventry.org.
The practice for prosperity, which is the kind of theme we've been going off that Bilal's been doing and Matthew and Tony, that I want to talk about is a mindset of prosperity. Now, it's kind of, when we were coming back to, when Ruth and Carol were coming up this morning and talking about like having your mind kind of attacked and like these words saying, oh, you're not worthy. This isn't who you are. Who are you to stand before God and worship him? And I just want, I want to confirm that right now, that that's not true. He's a liar. The enemy is a liar. He's a deceiver. You are, everyone in this room is worthy to stand here and praise God. Everyone in this room has access to God 24/7. Regardless of what you've done in the last week, it doesn't matter. I was inspired by this preach actually from Tony. So when he brought the verse about you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and he was kind of going into a bit about mind, and I was like, oh, this is kind of interesting, because you know I hear a fair bit about like the spirit, you know, worshiping the Lord, engaging spirit, you know, bringing tongues up and kind of like getting it going. And then with your heart, you know, your desires, your passions and everything, like, I hear a lot of that. But with your mind, I'm like, well, how do I worship God with my mind? How does God want me, the attitudes from my mind to be? And so he was kind of going on in this preach. I'm just kind of reminding you today of what he was kind of going on and building on it, about this positivity. And, how actually, if we're living a life in victory in Christ, that actually our thought processes should be positive, in a sense, because we know who we are, and it kind of links into the identity stuff that we looked at last time. So me and Karis were at a conference yesterday, and it was a real—it was a entrepreneurs and leadership conference, and it was great. We had some great speakers. We had some guys from like businesses who had kind of put their businesses to God and say, "God, do what you want with it," and God thrived. Made that business thrive. And then we had a speaker from the States called, I don't know if anyone knows, a guy called Tony Miller, quite a famous US preacher. Paul's giving me the nods. Yeah, cool. And he was saying there's an importance with the mind, because when you first hear about Jesus, that's good news. And that's good information that goes into your mind. And it gets processed by your mind. And your spirit and your heart kind of all come in together and go, oh yeah, this is a good thing. And they're all talking to each other. Like, I like the sound of this Jesus. And when you first heard him and you first knew him, your mind was playing in that. It received the good news. It received the good process. And because it was good information, it then changed your attitude. And because it changed your attitude, you then wanted to change your lifestyle. And then by changing your lifestyle, you created a new culture in yourself. But not just in yourself, but the people around you. And that is how the kingdom of God comes. So, mind, attitude, lifestyle, culture, kingdom. That's kind of a nice, I thought that's a really nice way of putting it, and kind of saying, well, actually, yeah, it does kind of start up here, and what I'm thinking about, how I think about myself, how I think about others, how I think about my situations. You know, we were talking about circumstances and situations that were getting on top of us, and like we were thinking, I'm just overcrowded. So yeah, I want to share what God has been showing me over the last few years of my life. Just some tips, some tools, kind of some scriptures that he's brought me to. I'm preaching to converted most of the time anyway, so it's great. So if anything, it's a reminder today. And specifically, I know there were last summer at Bible Week, for those of you who weren't there, the prophets of ministries that brought us went round and prophesied over the households. So the wives and the fathers and the children, those households for words that were to come. And today I really feel, because at the moment God's really taking me through that word that he gave me in Karis, and is really like punching me in the stomach to stay awake with it and really keep reminding myself, like, this is what's to come, like, especially for you guys today, for those households. So yeah, cool. Turn to the person next to you and say, hey, good looking, what's cooking, because I have a drink. Okay. Okay. Who's blushing? I'm blushing. So, this whole kind of first idea of mindsets came from... some of you might have met my friend Charles. Some of you are a big fan of him. I know Bilardo, he's a big fan of Charles. Charles is a great guy. He's a guy who I've lived with and who I've got to spend a lot of time talking with God about. He's a big kind of thinker and takes all the aspects and a logistical thinker. He loves God. He really dedicates his life to him. Basically, if you ever see him around, I'll point him out. And he's just the best life coach. Basically, he's wrapped in goodness, and yeah, he's awesome. And the last time he came up a couple of months back, we were sitting in the lounge, we were debating God and meditating and stuff, and he brought up this theme of mindsets. And so he was kind of explaining to me, it was based off this book that some of you might have read by Dr. Dweek, I think that's the name of it, which covers like mindsets in business and relationships and in schools. I've kind of had a flick over it. I haven't had a chance to kind of really dive into it. But Charles was basically saying there's two mindsets you can kind of have. One is a stagnant mindset, and one is one of growth. Now, the stagnant mindset is where if you're thinking about yourself or your abilities or situations you're in, the thoughts that come into your head are, I can only do what I know. I will always be like this. And I'm afraid of messing up. And you get to a point where you're like, do you know what? I'm just going to accept that, and that's who I am, kind of thing. And now the growth mindset is basically the complete opposite. It's saying, I might not be 100% confident in this field, but I'm willing to learn. I can acknowledge my mistakes. I can take responsibilities for my mistakes. And I can accept and acknowledge the challenges that befall me and know they will make me stronger. So it's two really different versatile things. And, you know, we kind of blur the lines in some places. So for me, I wouldn't say everything is growth kind of thing. You know, there have been times where I've messed up and I'm like, you know what, I'm just not going to try that again. I'll accept that. I'm not that great at it. But then when it comes to things that God has put on you, so words God has given you, I believe that he wants that to be a thing of growth. So when you're dwelling on it, and in your head, you're thinking, do you know what? I don't have the faith to believe this. I don't believe I'm good enough for it. Well, actually, there's a renewal of the mind that needs to happen there, a new change. And it's like I said, you need to receive a better information for your mind to be changed, then your attitude to be changed, then the lifestyle, so on and so forth. So, yeah. And I guess one example for me was when I was applying for university, I was going to go do acting. And surprise faces. My initial thought when I was in sixth form was, do you know what? I'm good at acting. My parents seem to think I'm good at acting. I should probably go to a drama school and do these sorts of things. And I went to every audition, and I was messing up every audition, and it was awful, basically. And I'd been a Christian maybe less than a year at that point, and God really was putting on my heart for music. And was really saying like, oh yeah, this is like, I was still quite early days in my faith, but I knew that like, music, God was right up there in me wanting to push forward in it. And I just remember, being in my kind of last audition, and I'd done a comedy song, and the people interviewing me, their faces were just like total shock that I'd done this. And I was just like, and that was halfway through an audition day. So you had like another half to do. And I came out and went, Dad. He said, yeah. He's like, we need to go home. I was like, why? He's like, we need to go home now. It was awful. And he was like, but we haven't done that. It's like, we're going home now. So we got in the car. At that point, in the car, I just knew that actually I need to be pursuing and growing in the things that God has called me to be. And I see that more now because I can kind of look back on that situation. But at the time I knew. So that's kind of the distinction of... well, actually, it's okay to acknowledge that some things are going to stay as they are, but actually some things you really need to invest in, things that God has called you to be. And if you, I don't want to just say, oh yeah, if someone's come up to you and gone, I prophesy you're going to have triplets or something like that, you know, randomly. Not doing that right now kind of thing. But it's like, if you don't necessarily need those kind of words. Like for me, the first word I got from God was I was just worshipping, and he told me... again, it was very, I was very early on in my Christian walk, and I was just worshipping with two guys from my church, and God just said, you're going to worship with your earthly brothers, like your hands over each other's shoulders, essentially, and you'll be there, because my brothers aren't Christians. So he said, it might take 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, but you're going to be standing there one day before me, Adam, worshipping with your earthly brothers. And I was like, yeah. And like the last few couple of months, God's been reminding me that again. And like my earthly eyes see that. Do you know what? They're as far away from God as that can be right now. But I have faith that God's going to bring that. So yeah. So I really want to challenge you guys, like with those words. And the Holy Spirit's probably doing stuff right now where it's he's bringing up those household words, or he's bringing up things that God said to you guys specifically. And he's challenging you, say, do you have the faith to believe? Are you stagnant in this, or are you growing in this? Are you taking small steps towards that? Cool. So, in my head, now that I'm in Christ, there's no such thing as a failure. And that's a fairly bold statement. But what I mean is that with the situations and circumstances I come through, if I mess up, and you know, things don't go according to plan. If you plan a whole day of activities, there's something that's going to go wrong within that day, whether you can help it, it's not in your power to do that. God's just shown me that actually you can look back on a process and always know there is something to learn from it. So the end result isn't the thing that is the kind of victory or the failure of it. And I just love this verse that in 1 Corinthians says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the works of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And that bit at the end that says, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I think that's really key for kind of failure. Like if you're thinking, oh yeah, I failed in this area, or like I've really messed up. It's like if you're going after God and you're pursuing the things that God has done, that's all part of it. There's a verse in James that talks about, consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because it will bring a perseverance in your faith and it will bring you to maturity. So, yeah. Another kind of story around that. It was about maybe 4 years ago, and I just passed my driving test. I was feeling great. I was like, ugh. I can drive now. I feel like a man, and like I can get myself places. And so my dad gets in the car with me, and he's put me on the insurance of this big old family car, and he says, "Okay, I'll take you around for a drive." And this car is like, it's basically dead. It died about 3 months after I got in it. And so whether that's my fault, I'm not sure, but they got a bit of money from scrap, so that's okay. But the first gear, as you were coming up off the clutch, it wasn't at all smooth. It was more like a kangaroo. So even if you came off as smoothly as possible, it was more like... So it was just a pain. So you're taking me around, and I felt okay. It was like driving this kind of minivan around. And we were just coming home. Felt pretty good, felt pretty confident. And we got to this this dual carriageway, and I was turning right to cross over this dual carriageway. And I was just coming off that first gear, and I stalled. I was like, okay, no, don't panic. I'm like, as fast as you can, kind of restart the car. And then I stalled again. And like the thing, it was jumping like a kangaroo forward, kind of inching into this 40 mile an hour dual carriageway. At this point, cars were stopping and beeping and queuing up. And I'm just like, ah! And I'm turning to my dad, I'm just like, ah! He's like, ah! So basically, at that point, we look at each other. And I'm just like, I get out the car and run to the side of the road. He gets out his side, runs around, hops in, restarts the car, and then pulls off. At which point, I'm just standing on the pavement like, oh, that was the worst thing that's ever happened to me. Probably in my whole life. And I was thinking to myself, Adam, you're an idiot. Adam, you can't drive. Adam, you're never going to drive ever again. Sound familiar? So, Adam... Your dad probably hates you right now because he's so embarrassed by you. He's never going to forgive you. He's never going to let you drive the car ever again. And all these thoughts start flooding in because I failed and I've messed up. Even though I just passed my driving test and I did a good job. I thought, oh, yeah, good job on the driving test. And at that point, I thought he was going to turn to me and says, yeah, I don't think you should drive for a bit. Maybe you should take a pass plus or something like that. And this is what he did. And this is like, this is kind of a really, really powerful moment for me, because I was like, this is how God treats us. This is how he treats us when we mess up. He was like, okay, we're going to go into a quiet road, just to the left, and you're going to keep trying that first gear until you get it right. You can do it as many times as you like. And I was just like, huh, are you not going to tell me I'm an idiot? Are you not going to tell me I can't ever drive again? He was just like, nope, just keep going again. And for me, that was just like, that's how God views all our failures and mistakes. He's just like, have another go. I get that you're pushing forward to it. I get it's difficult. I get that there are those moments where you just freak out and go, ah! So, yeah, and at that moment, it was like a real understanding of grace. And, yeah, no matter how much we mess up, there will always be grace. And for me, there's kind of many kind of ways you can think about grace, but for me, it's a receiving of something you don't deserve. I haven't earned it. I haven't earned this ability to be forgiven time and time again. It's just there because God loves me, because my Father loves me. Forgiveness, the fact that no matter how many times I mess up, he loves me, he forgives me. Karis had a really good description of it. God's righteousness at Christ's expense. I really like that. That's very cool. And it comes on New Year's Day. There were about maybe half of us here, and Ruth brought a word. And I don't know if you remember. She brought two kids out the front. I can't remember who they were. And she was saying, there's a covering of grace for people. And there's two types. There's a covering for those to help others. And there's a covering to be helped. And kind of accepting that. And so knowing with these like failures, which I don't believe in, where you stand in those. Are you the grace? Has God put his grace on you so you can help others in those situations? Or do you actually need to just accept, I need that help in that situation? And that comes on to, there's another verse, therefore, in 1 Thessalonians, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And I know all you guys have you'll engage with each other and talk to each other and share life, and you'll have close-knit relationships you can really identify and share with. And I just, as it said, as Paul was kind of talking to the church here, I just encourage you to keep doing that. And don't be afraid to mess up. I'm going to share a lot of stories today about me messing up, just so that you feel better about messing up. So yeah, so the actual practicing of this prosperity, of kind of what's going on in your mind, and these thoughts that are coming in, of how do we kind of counteract them? And kind of, for me, I came up with four ings, like running or jumping. It wasn't anything special, like when Matthew was doing his rejuvenate, or he was, I can't remember the four. Does anyone remember what they were? No? It's good. We're going to talk about memory in a bit, so it's fine. Don't worry. The four ings. So we've got growing, protecting, remembering, and measuring. And these are kind of tools that God has shown me, just in how I engage and kind of what goes on in my head. It's great when you're kind of in a time of worship and you're like, yeah, God, like your spirit's on fire and your heart's on fire. But when you come away at the end of that, things throughout the week will start flooding into your head. And these are kind of practices that I like, that kind of help me engage with that over the week, to kind of keep my mind focused above, focused on God. So we kind of talked on growing, with the whole idea there's no such thing as failures. Moreover, how can I learn from these things? And then the grace of God on you. So no matter how many times you mess up, God has always got you. God is always going to forgive you. Again, that comes back to this morning when Ruth brought the word. It's like, you are worthy to be here. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter how many times you've done that. You're worthy to be here. So another point was protecting. So here's a verse from Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And I think there's a responsibility on ourselves to really find, to make sure our minds are not being filled with rubbish. Do you know what? I love social media, and I love having access to the news, and all these just the accessibility and the communication with the rest of the world. And the fact that, to be honest, we do most of our church stuff, our church activities, on Facebook now. And that's great, and we're using that. Karis is really good at kicking me when she knows I've been on Facebook a long time and just looking at rubbish. Like if there's a dog video that's come up or something like that, and it's like, look at it, exactly. And it's like saying, I love you, or something like that. It's really impressive. But this is... we have to kind of watch, have to put a limit on it, is what I'm saying. And it's not me to stand here and tell you guys what your limit is. That's not up to me. That's something that you and God have got to have. And this is coming into all sorts of stuff, like for some people it might be their careers or their jobs or kind of their activities, but these are all good things. But if they're clogging up your mind with rubbish. I'd be scrolling down and all these adverts or things I don't need to sing aren't helping me, and you've got to judge that for yourself. You've got to trust yourself in that, because God trusts you. God gives you that free will to make those decisions, essentially. Something to think about. Remembering, this is my favourite point, because as humans, we're rubbish at remembering stuff. Again, me and Karis have a really good relationship because I can remember things. I have a long-term memory, that's what it's called, and she has a short-term memory. So I forget what's going to happen in the week. So I can just turn to her and go, what are we doing this week? And she's like, whereas like, I'll be like, do you remember that time long ago? And she'll be like, no. I totally wipe that from my memory. And sometimes I bring up, do you remember that really embarrassing moment when I did this or you did this? And it's just like, ah, I blocked that out my mind. And now you've remembered. Yeah, so it's like, yeah. We're really easy to forget. So coming to the story of, we kind of chatted about this in our life group on Tuesday, the feeding of the 5,000. Most people know it in this room. In Mark 6, you know, Jesus takes very few bread and fish and makes it multiply. And it's a miracle, and he feeds everyone there, and everyone's, you know, more than enough. And then he does it again in Mark 8. He does 4,000 people this time. And I was like, okay, well, there's a consistent thing going on here. And it's kind of like, look, I can feed this many people, and I can do this. And there's a bit of time that passes. I think Jesus, at that point, he gets in the boat, he goes overseas to see some Pharisees. And we're like, oh, the Pharisees, bad guys, the evil. Like, we don't like you, Jesus, kind of thing, you know. And they're like, oh, give us a sign. Prove that you are the Son of God, kind of thing. And he's just like, just fed 9,000 people. But, like, obviously, their hearts are cold. Their minds are set on getting this guy killed, getting this guy put away to have him off the street. So they're not going to listen anyway. Yeah, and then it's but you kind of expect that from the Pharisees, kind of being the bad guys. But then in the next kind of section of that chapter, the chapter is titled "The Yeast of the Pharisees," and there's a point where the disciples are kind of talking about, kind of mumbling over themselves, and Jesus is basically saying, "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees." And what I think he was kind of saying there is basically, watch out for their lack of faith and how that affects you. And the words they say, don't let that get seeped into your mind. And at that point, they're back on the boat and they've only got, like, I think it's one loaf of bread. And they're going like, oh, Jesus, we've got one loaf of bread. What are we going to do? We're going to die. We're going to starve. And you kind of expect from these guys who follow Jesus around every day to kind of go, it'll be fine. He's just fed 9,000 people. But they forget. It's that whole forgetting thing. And Jesus, he gets pretty upset with them. He's like, you guys are my followers, the guys who come after me. And like, do you know what? Yeah, So he has a bit of a go at them. But there's a real importance there, because there have been situations in my life, I know, definitely, I'm sure you can identify, where God has provided something. So take, for instance, when I brought the testimony earlier about money. God has always provided money. He's always given me enough. And there have been points where maybe it's been a little bit tight, and God has always come through. And most of the time I can kind of tell myself, do you know what? Don't have to worry about it. Even if we get a little bit tight with money, it's absolutely fine. Nothing. And then the other day I was kind of like, oh, do you know what? It's kind of, it's getting in my head, and I'm thinking about all these thoughts. It's like, well, am I right with God? Does that make a difference with it? Or is like, am I praying hard enough? Or like, do all these kind of situations. You get all these questions going in your mind. At that point, it's actually, it's relying on your faith and the truths you know. And yeah, so that's kind of, as disciples of Christ, it's really important we don't forget and lose faith in those things. So this is kind of why I wanted to bring up those words about your households today. Don't forget about them. They're really important. They're a huge part of your life, and they'll continue going on into your life and being part of your faith and kind of growing with God. Yeah. Yeah, and the last kind of point I was saying is measuring. So for me, I'm on my last year of finishing a degree course, and in your final year of degree course, you do a dissertation, and you basically write a book on something you're interested in. So for me, when I first started university, I thought that's quite a daunting thing, because I'm not particularly good at reading, I'm not particularly good at writing. I was kind of diagnosed with dyslexia quite early on in life. And you know, I was kind of thinking, this is the bit I'm dreading about my degree, basically. And God just came to me last summer. I was just like, look, I'm here right through with you, and I'll make you enjoy it, and I'll show you ways to pace it, and I'll show you practices and how to not do it all last minute, and put in disciplines for that. And so yeah, and I it was great, and it was a really good time. But then I got the marks back a couple of weeks ago, and to be honest, they were really disappointing. It was quite a low grade, and I was like, "Ah, oh, I'm really annoyed, and I'm really annoyed with myself. I'm annoyed with the tutors. It was everything I kind of dreaded, and like in terms of my abilities, how good I was at stuff, how good I was at writing with the dyslexia, and I just got really bummed down about it. And I was just like, oh, come on, God. Like, I put in all those disciplines and all those things. And we were worshipping a couple of Sundays back after that. And God was just speaking to me in that time of worship about the whole thing. And he just said, do you know where your worth is? And your worth isn't in your abilities. It's not in your job. It's not in your music. It's not in your writing skills. Your worth is in me. And it's who I say you are. And it was just a reminder at that moment, just kind of like, actually, there were some real good victories along the way of that dissertation. And God at that point just pointed out those victories. And things like, I didn't stress out about it at all. I never stressed out about it. I paced myself really well. I put disciplines in. God showed me how to put disciplines in. I wrote a book. I learned so much. Like, the area I went into, I was so interested in it. And I picked a subject I was really keen for. I really enjoyed researching it, and just the fact that I had no fear about it when I was dreading it a couple of years back, and God was with me the whole time. And actually, yeah, again, it's like sometimes we think it's the end result. So I know a couple of you guys have gotten your tribe of kin gig coming up and stuff like that. I'm sure it's going to be an awesome, awesome gig. And it always is with end of year productions, and it's a real celebration of all the studying you've done. But actually, that's just a result of the last 3 years you guys have done. With all the hard work, with all the disciplines that God has shown you, with all the words God's given you. And that's awesome. And that's a real celebration. And you know, you can kind of know that in yourself. So yeah, God will help you find those victories in those things. So it doesn't matter how much, come back to that. It doesn't matter how much you mess up in those things. God is always willing to teach you something of that if you're willing to listen. Yeah. And again, about that whole no fear thing. With no fear. So Me and Karis have just booked a holiday to Sicily. And I know, it's all very nice. So basically, for a whole week, I'm just going to be drinking wine and eating pizza. And we were planning it out, we were seeing what they was going to be doing, and we're not too far away from this volcano called Mount Etna. And I was like, how cool would it be to go up this volcano on my birthday? Because we're going away over my birthday. So I was like, I'd love to walk up a volcano on my birthday. And then recently, we've been getting news reports saying, oh, Mount Etna's been doing some erupting. And it's been kind of throwing rocks here and there and almost hitting tourists. And I'm just like, okay, did we cancel the whole thing? And then I was looking at my travel insurance and I was like, does this cover lava? And basically, travel insurance is pointless because it just covers nothing. It says, for cycling, sensible cycling. And I'm like, okay, define sensible, yeah. Anyway, and I was getting really wrapped up and then I was thinking, like, is our insurance going to cover this? What if it goes off during, like, when we're there? Do I cancel? Do we just rebook a whole new holiday? Where the heck is safe in the world right now to go on holiday? You know, all these thoughts start pouring in. And at that moment, God just went, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? You know where you're going. If you died, if my will, allowed you to die, you know where you're going. You have eternal life for me. There's nothing to worry about in this situation. It's not the end of the world. Even with all these, it's wise to have things like insurance and to cover yourself and cover your backs, cover your families, have finances ready for them. But actually, at the end of the day, you're all in Christ. You've got nothing to fear. You've got the God who created the universe, created all this, created you. There's nothing to fear. He's got your back. And that, for me, at that moment, God just went, stop worrying. Stop fearing. There's no point. I've got you. So, okay, coming back to measuring, another kind of point I really want to talk about being God's and having Christ in you, is really key. And I was having a friend, and I was chatting with her, and she was thinking about starting to do singing teaching. And she, again, coming back to these thoughts, she had these thoughts in my head of, I'm not good enough. I don't feel qualified enough. There's someone else who could do it better. And that's a really big one for me. There's someone else that could always do better, especially musicians. You tend to think a lot of the time you've got these aspirational guitarists or drummers who think, why am I bothering? Because there's someone else that could do it better. At that point, I just said to her, because you have Christ in you. And you have no idea what that does in if you're in a lesson with someone and you're bringing the presence of God into that lesson, where people, the one thing I learned about doing when we did outreach and going onto the streets and meeting people is these people don't meet God on a day-to-day basis. They don't feel his presence on a day-to-day basis, so they notice it when it's there. And it's that whole verse that talks about my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in me. And it's really key when we go into those situations with work or any environment that actually we acknowledge, obviously, with being a singing teacher or any kind of, you want to make sure, you know, you are good enough kind of thing. But it was more just a lack of faith in themselves. But obviously you need the earthly qualification to kind of go and do that. I'm not saying like, oh yeah, just because you've got Christ in you, you can go do some bungee jumping or, I don't know, or start up a vet farm or all these sorts of things. So just to make my point. But yeah, so what I'm saying is that you make a greater impact by being there, so putting God's presence in there. And you should never diss that off. You should never diss that off because, yeah, people just... there's a lot of people out there who don't meet Christ on a day-to-day basis, but you physically being there brings Christ into those situations. It's as if you are all arks of the covenant. Remember the big thing that held God that the Israelites had to go and carry around? And there were points where it used to go stay in people's houses when it was kind of travelling through. And when it was in those houses, those households prospered. And you are the same thing. You are carrying the presence of God in those things. You go into households, you go into workplaces, you go into situations, you carry the presence of God. So never disqualify yourself because of that kind of self-doubt of like, oh, there's someone better than me. And if you really want some advice, there's always someone worse than you. So, you know. But yeah. Yeah, so I think I'll just finish there. Again, if anyone wants to kind of chat to me about these whole things and like pray about situations, obviously with the kind of transformation of the mind, there is a kind of physical act in doing that in your head, but also that it's very spiritual. And places like worshipping God and praying God really do help with that and really bring a transformation. Like most of the times where I've let go of my worries, let go of those situations and cast out those thoughts from my head have been times of worship, times of praise. So yeah, if anyone wants to see me after, I'm kind of happy to pray for them if they've kind of got these things coming through their head. But I really just to finish, there's a verse it's probably one of my favorite verses in scripture. I'd just like to read the whole thing out and just kind of leave you with that really. So it's the whole of James 1, verses 2 to 16, and it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature or complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. The person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wildflower, for the sun rises with scorching heats, and with withered plants. Its blossoms fall and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to them, to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot tempt by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then, after desires are conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he's created."
Thanks for listening to this teaching from City Church Coventry. You can find more great teaching and other resources on our website at www.citychurchcoventry.org.